Okay, it's 1:31. I think we'll go ahead and begin the meeting, and we will begin as usual with our roll call, and we'll include, if we note other people joining them, you can amend the minutes to reflect their attendance.
Okay, we ready for roll call, President Burbeau?
Yes, we are.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Arnold?
Yes, I'm here.
Ms. Bright?
I'm here.
Ms. Compton? Let's see, just checking to see if I see Ms. Compton. I do not see Ms. Compton. I'll show her absent for a roll call. Mr. Enns?
Here.
Mr. Gibson? We were notified, that's right, President Burbeau, that Mr. Gibson would not be joining us today. Mr. Hammond? I do not see Mr. Hammond on. I'm going to show him absent for roll call. Mr. Heller?
Here.
Ms. Marks?
Here.
Mr. Newton?
Here.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Here.
Mr. Pichon?
Here.
Mr. Starton?
Here.
Mr. Burbeau?
Here.
You do have a quorum. I do show two absent, and I'll continue to look for that.
Okay, actually, that's pretty right. I mean, Gibson, who we knew of, Hammond, and...
Yes, and Ms. Compton. Yes, Mr. Compton. Gibson right. is definitely absent.
So, gotcha.
So I'm looking okay. for Mr. Hammond and Ms. Compton.
Right. And as I said, if they join, you'll note that in the roll. We'll acknowledge that, and you can adjust the attendance.
I will. Thank you.
All right. With that, I will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag. Please join me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recording in progress.
Okay. All right. So we will move on to public comment on matters not on the agenda, but under the purview of the IWMA. Barbara, do we have any?
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I see nobody for public comment.
All right, thank you. And we will go ahead and move on to item 5, our interim executive director's report. So Patty, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, President Burbeau. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. First up is our credit card report and expense report. Are there any questions on either of these two items before we move on? Credit card report is on page 5, and then the expense report begins on page 6 and runs through page 8 of your agenda packet. Okay, hearing no questions, and again, we're here after the meeting or any time if you wanted to give me a call or email me on any of these issues or questions you have on these two reports, please do. Next up, we have a new clerk of the board, very excited to announce that Sasha Del Giorgio is our new clerk of the board, and she comes to the IWMA with lots of experience from the Slo County Employee Association. She brings enthusiasm and positive energy to this agency. And I just want to welcome Sasha. Thank you. Go ahead and give a wave, huh?
Thank you. Nice to meet everyone.
Is that Sasha where it says Cheryl Price?
It is. Mm-hmm. We're sharing a screen today.
Okay, good.
I was going to say your first task as clerk is to give yourself a name or a screen name. That's not Cheryl.
Yes, we will definitely make that change. Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome aboard, Sasha.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Sasha. So next up is resolutions. As you know, like the city of Paso recently passed a resolution, and as of last night, the city of Morro Bay did as well. And these resolutions are specifically geared to reinforce that these entities want to stay in the IWMA JPA. Moving forward, if I understand it correctly, Jan Marks said that The city of SLO is also going to be doing a resolution, if I'm not mistaken, on October 19th. And I expect other cities and possibly even the special districts to do this as well. So as these resolutions are passed with conditions or not, I will make sure that I keep this board informed moving forward.
Let me address two things. One on item two, introducing Sasha, just a reminder to everybody that Cheryl's last day with the IWMA is this Friday, October 15th, and Sasha is replacing Cheryl. Also on the resolutions, I can also add that Tascadero will be considering the resolution, similar resolution on October 26th. And for those interested, these resolutions typically just indicate that the city involved intends to stay within the IWMA, and also some of them list some things they would like to see happen. And we'll partially address some of those in a later agenda item here.
True. Excellent. Thank you for that. And then lastly, we need to get an update from HFNH, our consultants. They're doing that data verification. Barb, can you pull up the PowerPoint? And I apologize about the short notice. We received the draft from HFNH at 12:30 this afternoon. So I did email it out to you all, but I'm sure you haven't even seen it hit your email or had a chance to take a look at it. It's a 9-page report. I think you'll find it very comprehensive and well done. And today we're going to have Phil from HFNH join us to run us through a few slides, run us through the report, and bring us up to speed on where HFNH felt that this board needs to move forward with on the rate increase. Phil, are you available?
I am. Thank you, Patty, for the introduction. Thank you, President Bourbeau and the directors for allowing me here to present today. So as Patty had mentioned, I'm here today to talk about the impacts of Senate Bill 1383 on the IWMA's budget, particularly the revenue requirements necessary to cover expenses and maintain a healthy operating fund balance. If you please click to the next slide. In September, we were redirected to project the IWMA's budget through fiscal years 23-24 within our existing scope and budget. There was no additional funds or contract issued to perform this reassessment. The primary focus on the analysis was the impact associated with the unincorporated county and Los Osos community service districts withdrawing from the IWMA. The revision to the customer base has downstream effects on the landfill tipping fee revenues, hauler HHW fee revenue, and other program expenditures that you'll be facing to comply with 1383. For fiscal year 2021 and 2022, we primarily adjusted the revenue and expense categories based on the account counts. While the haulers provided the ultimate source data, there was a team effort between the member agencies, the CSDs, and staff to provide this information. For future years, we assigned various indices to account for growth, such as CPI and labor rates. The chart on the bottom here displays the projected revenues and expenses. You're probably wondering why the revenue is a little bit higher, about 2.3% higher than the expenditures. And that's because we're intending to achieve a target unrestricted fund balance of 50% of operating expenses. We want to ensure that if revenues become unstable or don't come in, you have at least 6 months worth of operating revenue to continue maintaining your programs. Next slide, please. After reviewing the expenses and operating fund target, we determined the overall IWMA revenue requirement. And then we next subtracted the anticipated revenues with the exception of the hauler fee revenue, which helped us to determine a target hauler fee revenue requirement to make sure that you're fully funded and operational going forward. The weighted average fee came out to a total of 4.42% for fiscal year 2021-22 through fiscal year 23-24. But we're recommending a fee of 4.5%, which adds a 2% contingency to this. And as we get into the data limitation and key assumptions, I think you'll understand why we put a small contingency to round that up. Next slide, please. In terms of key assumption, the primary driving factor for the fiscal year 21-22 budget was a reduction in the account base of 10% to account for Los Osos and the unincorporated county leaving. When we assumed, we had to assume a generation profile for these communities was similar to all of the other member agencies, due to lack of granularity surrounding the generation profile at each home, right? We don't know if there's a significant difference in the amount of trash being generated since these are all being reported in aggregate. Other key assumptions are centered around the revenue and franchise fee amounts provided by the member agencies. For franchise fees, we obtained the FY 2021 franchise fee remittance of $4.6 million from the member agencies. And for gross receipts, we obtained the FY 2021 gross receipts of $47,650,000 from the haulers. So we're relying on the data that was provided. Next slide, please. There are some limitations to the projection. The first was the limited resolution on account data and generation per home for the various CSDs in unincorporated county. As such, we use various extrapolations and assumptions to project the future expectations and impacts. We're also in a transitional period here in the state as we implement 1383, and there's currently no robust historical data surrounding the ongoing cost of 1383 compliance. We're working with 75 jurisdictions on implementation, so we have a wide breadth of experience and the different costs that they're seeing. But at this point, no one's been walking the walk for a year or two, so it's hard to determine exactly what the impacts will be. There's also limited experience operating the JPA without the unincorporated county or LOSO, so there may be some unintended consequences or changes that occur with that change. And finally, the revenues are likely subject to change based on member agencies renegotiating the respective franchise agreement. At this juncture, the timing for completion of these negotiations and the individual rate impacts per member agency are unknown and were therefore not considered. And with that, I will go to the next slide and open it up to questions.
All right. A couple of things I want to mention first. As a reminder to everybody, with the implementation of 1383 and the additional requirements that would impose on the IWMA, the need for additional staff, HF&H had previously come up with calculations for what kind of a rate increase would be needed to help accommodate that. During some initial drafts, we're talking as high as 4. That got amended down to 3.25% increase on what would go on people's on ratepayers' garbage bills. At our last meeting, we discussed this, and more than one of the cities, one had formally requested it in writing, more than one had requested verbally that we have HF&H go back and recalculate the rate increase needed in light of the county's departure and the potential impact that would have on both revenues and expenditures. So that was kind of the underlying purpose of this revisit by HF&H. Another factor to consider is that we also decided that we would not pursue the tonnage fee increase. So my first question, and I'll open it up to everybody else's questions in a moment. My first question to you, Paul and Phil, is to what portion of, so this rate increase frankly came in a little higher than I expected. You know, since we were at 3.25, I was expecting something in the neighborhood of 4, just wild guessing. To what extent did our dropping of the $1 tonnage fee increase play into this increase here? In other words, by abandoning that, it was going to impact revenue by a certain amount. How much did that translate into this 4.5%? Do you know?
I'd have to dig back into the details to get the exact amount, but that was initially the primary funding mechanism was the per ton charge. So reducing that by a dollar left a bigger shortfall in the revenues versus the expenses.
Got it. I think that's important to know to people. I do have a few other questions. I'll defer to other folks, right? Other members of the board right now for any questions you have for Phil. I don't see any hands. Somebody can go ahead and start speaking if you have a question. Okay. Jan.
Charles? Oh, sorry. It looks like Jan put her hand
up. I'm sorry, Debbie. Jan got her hand up right.
Yep, that's right.
So
yeah.
We'll go with Jan first. And then okay.
Jan? Yeah. The analysis is limited to the to 1383. And I'm curious if you took a more general, more holistic analysis into account. In other words, everything else that we do besides the new organic waste mandate in this analysis. I mean, are there other things out there that we don't know about? So that's my question.
That's a great question. And we did actually look through your entire budget line by line, not just accounting for the SB 1383 expenses. We made some minor adjustments, but primarily 1383 was the driver for the increase. However, we did take a wider look at everything.
Okay, thank you.
Jan, I did want to point out, if this revised report, I was just glancing at it in the 10 minutes or so I had it before the meeting started. They did make some assumptions and try to address some of the issues around the impact on expenditures and revenue of the county's departure. So, you know, the increased cost relative to 1383, but adjusted by the fact that the county departing, you know, would take with it so many residential and so many commercial customers, and you know, what impact that might have on expenditures, et cetera. In fact, I have a question on that in a minute, but I'm going to defer to Debbie as a question.
Yeah, thank you, Charles. My question just had to do with a couple months ago when we passed the fee increases, the resolution with the fee increases, and then we were told that that would involve 218s. Each entity, each member agency would have to do a 218 to be able to increase the fees or any of the fees, I guess. I'm just wondering if you could speak to that. Is that still in play? I've never felt like I understood fully once we kind of changed tracks on that 218 requirement. Is it required? Is it not required? Et cetera. I was just wondering if someone could address that question.
Sure. I will try to address it. And Jeff Mary, our counsel, will shut me up if I'm getting it wrong. We as the IWMA board passed two rate resolutions, one increasing the bill on the garbage bills or the percentage on the garbage bills, and the other increasing the tonnage fee. The IWMA imposes those fees on the haulers, to collect or to remit, I should say. So they're not, the IWMA do not have a direct relationship with the rate payers. So it's not a 218 issue for the IWMA. Jeff Minery, as our counsel, wrote a letter. So after we passed the rate resolutions, we referred those to the jurisdictions, sent them to the haulers. And Jeff Minery, as our counsel, noted to the jurisdictions that their jurisdiction, it may call for a 218 process in their jurisdictions. It's not automatic that every jurisdiction would conclude that they have to run a 218 for the impact on their ratepayers. It might depend on, in some cases, whether or not the garbage service is mandatory. If it's not mandatory in a community, then it's an optional service and therefore it's not property related. They wouldn't have to do a 218. But what he had to do was point out to them that it was up to each jurisdiction to determine if they had to run a 218 process. City of SLO had come back to us and said, hey, we need more time because we only run a 218 process once a year. And if the county's leaving, we'd like you to recalculate to make sure that the numbers are good. So the idea is you brought up a great question. As a result of this revised report, we will need to revise our rate resolution in order to formally, you know, hand it off to the cities to, go through a 218 process if they indeed deem they need to do that. Most of them, my guess is most of them will deem they do have to go through a 218 process. So I don't know. Hopefully, Jeff, I didn't get anything wrong there. And Debbie, I hope that wasn't too convoluted of an explanation.
No, it was actually good. This is sort of a tricky little
situation.
But when you're talking about jurisdictions, you're talking about then each city or CSD's jurisdiction, or I was getting a little confused there. Are you talking about the jurisdictions that the haulers themselves have that it's up to, or you're talking about agencies, public cities?
Well, it's every jurisdiction that has franchise agreements with haulers, because it's the haulers we're imposing the fee on, but the haulers only, you know, are haulers because they have a franchise agreement with their respective jurisdiction, whether it's a city or a CSD.
So it sounds like what happens then is in this body, we figure out what the cost is going to be and what the how far the rates need to be increased to abide by the legislation, et cetera, and whatever else. But then it's sort of like baked into the negotiations, meaning that we'll use Atascadero because I'm familiar, you're familiar, Charles. So if Atascadero is negotiating with their hauler, then they're going to have to negotiate the rate increase with the hauler, and then they, the city, will have to do the 218 to be able to impose the rate increase on its citizens. Is that sort of how it works?
Right, because each city and CSD is negotiating with their hauler right now to address the increased cost of 1383. We impose this fee, which to the hauler is essentially a pass-through cost. Their contract says they're going to get, you know, they're going to get that money back, but it has to be adopted in a rate structure. And then the city, you know, or CSD would have to go out and say, okay, all you rate payers, we're approving an increase in your rates. This is your opportunity to tell us to get lost. So.
Thank you for that.
President Barbeau, I just want to let you know you explained that perfectly. The IWMA has the ability to impose a fee on any company that has an agreement with a public agency. So that's a fee directly on the haulers, which when passed through to customers would require or potentially require a 218.
Right. Thank you. And of course, with the county leaving, the haulers that are in county franchise areas would no longer collect and remit that fee to the IWMA. They would not automatically start collecting the same amount and sending it to the county. The county will need to, adopt a rate that the haulers would then collect and remit to the county. Okay. All right. Does anybody else? Because I have a couple more questions for HFMH, probably because I have 10 more minutes than the rest of you to look at the report. But does anybody else have any? Oh, Keith, I see you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Charles. I just needed a clarification, please. As far as steps moving forward, I thought you called this, or it was called the draft report. Is there more things that have to happen to determine that final percentage? And what are the next steps to communicate with the cities so they know exactly what funding we're looking for when we need to move forward with our individual agencies for the 218s?
Great question. I'm going to take a partial stab at that and then turn it over to Phil and or Patty or Jeff. We had told the city of SLO we would get, in particular, because they particularly asked for it by a certain date, we would get this revised data to them as soon as possible. I don't know about finalizing this in terms of turning it from draft to final. I would like everybody to take a stab at reading it, and if they have questions or concerns about it, get those to Patty to get to HF&H as soon as possible, perhaps I would even say by Friday. And then I would ask Phil, how quickly would you guys be able to finalize that? And then steps-wise, this is probably more of a Patty and Jeff question. At some point, we have to take this revised data, amend our rate resolution, and then we tell the cities what's going on, but at some point then we have to refer that to them, that data and the rate resolution to them. Before I proceed to asking Phil and Patty to address that, I see Dawn has her hand raised.
Thank you so much. I'm just curious about the additional piece on other programmatic. It's on, hang on a second, what page am I on? Trying to move my screen here. On the other programmatic in regards to expenses in the education aspect, that it's broken down to schools and then business and public outreach. One of the things that I, you know, continue to kind of question is the expenditures as it is right now at $368,000 for education, and this the additional 19% added and then 10% for schools. I thought that there was going to be a movement to open that up for bid, and perhaps there was a savings there. And this is just, based on existing expenditure as opposed to looking at future opportunity to educate and do outreach for all IAWMA items, not just just 1383. Can anybody answer that? Or
well, I'm going to defer to Phil to really answer that, but I would comment on one point you raised, and that is regarding going out to bid. We did at our last meeting agree that we would put the educational contract out for RFP, I might add, for the first time in 20 years. So and that does add in a little bit of a mystery, if you will, in terms of trying to accurately, you know, on the part of HF&H, they can only make certain assumptions.
Right.
They don't know if that going out to bid will potentially save us a lot of money. They can't know that. But it was good to bring that piece up and a good reminder, everybody, that for the first time in 20 years, we are putting that that contract out. And and Patty might be able to address where we're at in that process.
Definitely going to be doing that.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm sorry. So Phil, can you answer Dawn's question regarding the reference to changes in the educational expenditures?
Yes, we did account for a reduction actually in the education expenditures for the withdrawal of Los Osos and the unincorporated county. I believe it was about $88,000 reduction in the education fund was what we estimated.
Then added 10 and 19 onto that then?
On which part of the report are you referring to? I believe we reduced by 10 and 19%.
Oh, I see. It's reduction. Okay.
Yeah, it was a reduction because we have businesses leaving and then accounts that would be receiving mailers and education flyers. So since they're leaving, we reduced the budget by that. Yeah.
Right. And I was thinking that it was part of forecast for what it would take to do the 1383. But I get that this is taking people out. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And we did include the forecast for 1383 as well, which netted to a reduction of approximately $88,000. So that accounted for people leaving and your additional labor and work.
Yeah. So does that say you'd have to do certain new things, but you'd be doing it, not you, we'd be doing it for fewer students and businesses, et cetera. We'd be educating a smaller audience, but doing some additional things as required by 1383?
Exactly.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any further questions? Okay. And just before we leave this topic, well, I have a couple questions, actually. I was, and like I said, I had a few moments to review it. And there's talk in here about in estimating changes in expenditures about like the Stericycle hazardous waste program reduced by 9%, assuming the expenditure would decrease by the same proportion of total residential accounts in the unincorporated county, and it makes the same 19% assumption regarding current business programs. One of the things that's kind of been an issue is, you know, the county unincorporated area plus Los Osos has about 25% of the population, but they have a much smaller percentage of the number of accounts, partly because there's very few commercial business accounts in those unincorporated areas, and partially because some of them are optional service areas, so not all the households would have garbage service. But on the expenditure side, so that means on the revenue side, they're not taking away, if you will, a 25% of the revenue, and you identified that.
No.
But on the expenditure side, one of the issues is it's hard to, like running an HHW site or other programs, if 10% of the customers leave, the cost doesn't necessarily go down by 10%, or the numbers you're referring to here. So I'm wondering how you guys, was it just an assumption because there's no way to really guess at that, or how did you approach that?
That's a great question. And it's really dependent on the program. So for HHW, that one, it was really just an extrapolation of the data we had. It's HHW can get very expensive based on if you have one gallon of really nasty acid, that could double your budget. It can go either way when you start getting to the proper handling. I think the change in, I guess, number of residents isn't going to be as volatile as what you actually receive. So there is a reduction, but there is definitely overhead that's not leaving. And the same thing with education. On that front, we reduce the number of mailers and postage that you would be sending, but we wouldn't reduce things like your graphic design or the drafting of content, because that's a fixed fee regardless of the number of users. So it's really just program dependent on how we adjusted those.
Okay. Yeah, because my concern is like running an HHW site, even if you have 10% fewer people showing up or even 25% fewer people showing up, unless you cut the hours, your only reduction is the physical quantity of stuff that you take in and have to get processed. Anyway, so I was a little concerned about that. But I think given the you know, that we just got these, that our action is essentially give everybody on the board a chance to review it, provide any questions to Patty so she can pass them on to HF&H. Please do that as soon as possible. But then timeline, we're gonna provide this information to the cities. And Phil, I guess I didn't ask you specifically how soon would you think this draft could be turned into a final report?
That is a great question. So the reason it was flagged as draft was to allow all of you a chance to put input and make any changes or requests to Patty. Assuming there's no major changes, I would think it would maybe take a week at most to turn around. But if someone has a big change that they would like, it might be a little more significant. So assuming we get it Friday, I would think we could turn it around fairly quickly. I wouldn't think more than a week unless we have to redo the entire model. But if it's just minor change here or there, it could be a matter of a day or two.
Okay, thank you. And then I think it's, Jeff, if I'm not mistaken, we would need to have a, because we really can't wait till November, that we'd have to have a special meeting to redo the rate resolution. Is that a correct assumption?
That would be correct.
Okay. All right. Then, yeah, I think then if we could sort of give everybody some homework to look this over and provide any comments or questions back by Friday so it can be finalized, we can provide the final report to the cities and CSDs for their information. And then we'll need to schedule a special meeting to redo our rate resolution. Okay, does that make sense to everybody? If not, please speak your piece. And with that, we will go ahead and move on to the next. Oh, Patty, does that complete your oral report?
It does, but I just wanted to thank Phil, and I really appreciate what your team has done. They've done a really good job given the circumstances. You know, this medical emergency was completely unforeseen, but you guys did an outstanding job coming together and bringing this community the information we need to move forward. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Phil.
Thank you, Patty. I'll let our team know.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Phil. Then we will go ahead and move on to the next thing on the agenda, which is going to be our consent agenda, items 6 through 12. Before we do that, let's see if we have any public comment on the consent agenda.
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press *9. I have nobody for public comment on consent.
All right, thank you. And do we have any board member questions or comments or would like to pull a consent agenda item for further discussion? Okay, if yes, not, please. Then I will entertain a motion regarding the consent agenda. I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen, we can see your hand there.
Thank you. Just a quick question regarding the conflict waiver. Now, Mr. Minery, he's not the counsel for both organizations, is he? Or is that what it's saying?
President Barbeau, if I might, Director Upright, I am counsel for Heritage Ranch and for Integrated Waste Management Authority. So okay. That's why the conflict waiver is necessary.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it's just because you were employed by the the firm that represents both, or if you were actually counsel for both organizations?
I am actually counsel for both entities. Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So both agencies will receive a conflict letter similar. Yeah. And Heritage Ranch will have the same thing. And we did this last time. There was a ratification of the agreement as well.
Okay, I got that. I just wanted to clarify that's how that worked. Thank you very kindly.
Of course.
And Jeff, in theory, if the IWMA and the Heritage Ranch folks ever found themselves in conflict over the HHW site, which is where we have a relationship with them, what would you do in that instance? Would you recuse yourself from one party or the other? What would you do?
I would recuse myself from both agencies because I've had a hand in these agreements. So okay. My intent with this kind of stuff is just to be as open and transparent as possible.
Right. Got it. Thank you.
And if there was any issue of concern where I saw conflict, I would draw it to your attention.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Cheryl, I note that John Hammond has joined and it looks like has his hand raised. John, I'm not sure if you just joined or when, but Cheryl will need to adjust the rules.
Yeah. Sorry, Charles. I was about 15, 20 minutes late there, but I was just going to make a motion for approval whenever you're ready.
Okay. Please do then. We'll consider that a motion. Do we have a second?
Consider items 6 through 12. I move to approve.
Is Keith, I'll second.
Okay.
I think I heard Keith first, so we'll go with Keith as the second. John Hammond as the first. Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Mr. Storton.
Yes.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Mr. Enns.
Yes.
Mr. Heller.
Yes.
Ms. Marks.
Yes.
Mr. Newton.
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Yes.
And President Barbeau?
Yes.
Motion passes with 11, and still we have two absent supervisors, Compton and Gibson.
All right, thank you. With that, we will move on to our regular agenda, starting with item 13, second amendment to the IWMA JPA. You recall the previous second amendment we passed, we withdrew subsequently because the county was clearly not going to approve it and is now withdrawing. So I'm going to turn it over to Jeff, our counsel, to address this to start off with.
Of course. President Barbeau, directors of the board, what you have before you is a very simple amendment to the joint powers agreement. As you're aware, there are a number of references and roles and responsibilities of the county in the JPA as currently drafted. Those provisions hamper the ability of the IWMA to function as a board without the county. And so what this amendment is doing is simply just removing references to the county to allow the IWMA board to meet and establish a quorum upon the withdrawal of the county. You'll notice that it's on page 142 of your packet. I have redlined these changes in section 7.2 and section 8.5. Section 7.2b, we've removed the requirement, the suggested red line is to remove the requirement that five members of the Board of Supervisors are members of the governing body. Section 8, there is a suggested deletion to remove the requirement that one county representative be included to establish a quorum. In addition to those changes to those two provisions, what is not in your board package, but I would like to bring up at this time as well, is section 5.3 of the agreement, of the JPA, designates the San Luis Obispo County as the member required to be designated by section 6509 of the government code. What this is 6508 of the government code says that the joint powers agreement has all the powers in common with all the member agencies. However, as far as procedural restrictions on the exercise, the manner and the method of exercising those powers is restricted by one agency to avoid confusion so that if there's procedural differences between the agencies, you just look to one. Here it's the county. I have been in contact with the city attorneys for City of San Luis Obispo, and at least as a placeholder for now, City of San Luis Obispo has agreed to put their to be the designated party going forward. Of course, that could be changed in the future. So my other recommended change would be on section 5.3, that the authority designates the City of San Luis Obispo as the member required to be designated pursuant to the government code. Other than that, I hope the staff report's clear. I'm here for any questions.
Yes, Jeff, we exchanged messages this morning about my asking whether or not we should at this time eliminate the 8-vote supermajority because, and this is not in response, by the way, from my perspective, to some of the cities specifically asking for that to be removed. We can discuss all of the things the cities are asked for another time. My concern is just that in this short term, obviously, if we have a provision that calls for 8 votes, we would have 8 remaining members, and that means it would require unanimity on any action until we make further amendment to the JPA. So my suggestion is that we consider simply deleting that provision for now. And the premise here is that, you know, these actions, the base actions that Jeff described, are required for us to basically to continue without the county present as a participating agency. So the idea is that we would, you know, if the board concurs in approving these amendments, we would send them out to the cities and the CS, well, we'll talk to CSDs in a minute. We'd send it out to the remaining members for ratification, essentially just that we can proceed. Then, based on the requests of several, we need to address how we'll go about, you know, a committee or otherwise reviewing the rest of the JPA for potential changes. So these are just like kind of must do things right now in order to continue to function in the absence of the county.
And President Barbeau, if just to make the record clear, what you're suggesting is on section 8.5 of the JPA, deleting the sentence that says, however, 8 affirmative votes shall be required for taking any action in the event any member demands such a vote. Deletion of that one sentence would simply require all actions by the board to be by a simple majority vote.
Okay, does having brought up, so those, there's the two that Jeff had in the staff report. There's the additional one regarding the City of SLO as the identified agent or whatever. And then there's the deleting the requirement for 8 positive votes. Let's go to questions. I'm not sure who popped up first. At the top of the screen is Robert Evans.
Thank you, Charles. I just had a question that's going to leave us with an 8-member board, which can lead to the possibility of a tie. And Jeff, maybe you can tell us what happens during a tie.
What happens during a tie is you do not have a majority vote and any motion would fail.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, good question. Jeff. Jeff, can you hear me?
All which right. Which Jeff?
Jeff Heller.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Sorry,
yeah, the question I have is,
we have a what? Lawyer.
That's all right. That's okay. It's not a problem. It seems to me we should delete that one sentence about the 8-vote. It doesn't make sense to me at this point. Is there any reason we can't do that?
No, that's what's being suggested, is that we include that in the immediate changes that we want to make in this amendment and send out.
Okay, I support that.
Okay, Jan.
That's all.
Thank you, Jeff. Jan, and then John Hannon.
I also would support the deletion of that sentence for the reason stated. I did want people to know that I've had discussions with our city manager and city attorney's office, and I've read the government code section that we were discussing. And the city of San Luis Obispo would be okay about serving in that capacity at present as a placeholder. I think it makes sense because we are the county seat and kind of centrally located. But there's no objection that anyone I've talked to and the city has come up with. It would, of course, have to go to our city council to be approved. You know, but as a placeholder, it's fine with the city of San Luis Obispo. So,
thank you, Jan. And Jeff Minnery, just from a procedural standpoint, does that mean that, you know, we included in this amendment that we send out to the cities, but that sometime prior to the final ratification of the amendment, the city of SLO would need to pass a resolution or something saying they're willing to do it? Or perhaps the night they consider the JPA amendment, they could just acknowledge that, you know, they're willing to do that. And I would assume that based on past practice, they really won't have to do anything unless some sort of conflict of process arose.
Right. And really what this is just a reference point for interpretation of the how power is exercised. It doesn't place any burden on any city named in this capacity. So I would say put it in there. And my assumption is that all the agencies will adopt the amendment as proposed. And then to the extent the city of San Luis Obispo or another city wants to be named in its place, we could deal with that as part of the future JPA amendment process. One other note, since I've got the floor here real quick, is that for the benefit of the county members, I will point out that the effective date of this amendment, should it be passed here today and approved, it shall become effective on the execution by all the member agencies and the formal exit of the county. So in no way would this amendment disrupt the county supervisor's membership in the board and participation with this board until actually the date formal exit has been accomplished.
Okay, thank you, Jeff, because essentially most cities we would hope would put this on their first November meeting. Mm-hmm. And it would hopefully be ratified by all of them prior to November 15th, but this amendment would not take effect until at least November 16th.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, thank you. John Hammond, followed by Keith Thornton.
Thank you, Charles. I guess a question for you or maybe Jeff, with regard to, you know, we understand obviously the reason for doing this now and getting the county disconnected from the JPA, but I'm really interested in when we're going to be as a board reviewing the JPA and making the changes that Pass Robles has indicated to, I think, all the other city managers. I think they've been talking. I want to hear our date when we can get this calendar, because it really is going to hinge on whether we stay there or not. Does anybody have any idea when we might be able to get to this point on the JPA review?
Well, I think as part of the discussion of this agenda item, we should talk about who do we want to sit down and talk about, you know, that more thorough review of the JPA. You know, we're, as a board, we represent each of our jurisdictions. So in theory, it could be us as a board that we sit down and talk about amendments to the JPA. We certainly would have to approve any further recommended changes that would go out to the jurisdictions. My own thought is, I mean, it's kind of hard for us to put together a public meeting like that. It might be more effective to have a committee that would include some of us board members and make sure we get a good cross-section of viewpoint. But also include in that perhaps a city manager or two, if they're interested, which I think they are. Perhaps include even a hauler or two, because they're interested parties, to a committee to make recommendations regarding changes in the JPA that would then come before the full board for adoption and referral to all of the remaining members.
Yeah, well, I would certainly agree. Yeah, an ad hoc as quick as possible to get formed and start working on this, I think is definitely where I would like to see this happen. I'm sure other cities would probably be interested in doing this too. So, Jeff, can we make some sort of direction to spin off this item to make an ad hoc form?
Absolutely. I think if the president would like to guide the direction of how the ad hoc committee looks, at least to start, that might be a help.
Right. I mean, I threw an idea out there. I think what I'd like to do is see what other questions people have regarding these changes. And then we'll take a kind of a separate action related to this agenda item on, you know, what's the best way forward for reviewing the JPA.
Okay.
Time-wise, I think you know, other than there's a lot of other things going on, there's nothing to prevent that from happening in the very near future. I think Keith Storton was next, and then Jan Marks.
Thank you, Charles. Basically, my question was about timing and just ensuring that the cities act by November 15th for both this item and the upcoming item, assuming both will be approved. But I'm in agreement with the recommendations that have been added. Thank you.
Thank you. Jan?
Yes, I just, you know, having read Paso's resolution and the proposed resolution for the city of San Luis Obispo, these two cities at least have included conditions. So they've made it kind of a conditional resolution. And I haven't had a chance to read Morro Bay's yet, but it seems to me that what we need to do as step one is to get all of the various entities to pass these resolutions and deliberate about any, you know, any conditions they may wish to place on that. So that I think the ad hoc committee is a good idea, but when it, I wouldn't want it to go too far down the road in terms of its work agenda, you know, before getting the input from all of the cities that, and possibly CSDs that have passed these resolutions. So I would imagine it would be something that could happen, you know, possibly, well, I hate to say in December because the holidays, but, you know, possibly early December or in sometime in January. So I don't want us to get too far down the road without making sure we know exactly what we're dealing with from the jurisdictions in terms of the resolutions.
Thank you, Jan. I think that's a good point. I think that one of the things that the cities that haven't yet adopted a resolution, but when they discuss one, they might want to consider if they have any comments regarding what kind of representation they'd like to see on the committee. And then essentially, they might want to talk about what things they'd like to see so they would could give guidance to whoever might represent them in a way. One of the other possible memberships I didn't mention is Patty's been using what she calls a local task force where there's a representative from each jurisdiction where they've been talking over 1383 implementation issues. Those are the kind of people that might also be possible members of the committee, because they're the folks that are handling this 1383 issue day to day within their city. In some cases, it's a public works person. In some cases, it's someone else who's kind of tasked with handling a hauler agreement negotiations. So, anyway, so there could be a widespread membership, and I think you're right. I wouldn't want to try to figure out today who should be on that committee kind of thing. But if we get everybody to approve the amendment by, you know, by our next meeting, we could begin to talk about that. And I certainly think we could do it by December. Wouldn't want to see it slip to January just because, you know, the committee then would take some time. But anyway, those are just some thoughts. And I think, does anybody else have questions regarding today's amendment or comments about our path forward? Jan?
Yeah, just quickly, in this interim kind of period, in terms of the Brown Act, how many members of this board could serve on such a committee without violating the Brown Act? In other words, do we think about ourselves as an eight person body or 13 person body, or, you know, just
Well, I think
it's kind of fluid, like with everything's changing. So
sure. Well, I think
what would you recommend?
Well, for purposes of future changes to the JPA, absent the county, I think we think of ourselves as an 8-member board. So the question to Jeff Minery would be, if you form a committee that includes some board members, would 3 be the maximum or would 4 be the maximum, since 4 is not a majority?
Well, I would suggest a committee that will remain intact and undisrupted by the board shrinking from 13 to 8. Right. So because I think the work will still need to be done after November 15th.
Right.
And I would like to make one quick point, if I might, is that this is an amendment to the JPA that has been signed by the county as well as all the cities. And so this amendment will not just need to be approved by the cities, but also by the county at the Board of Supervisors level.
I find that a little bit confusing, though, because the existing JPA says that a member can withdraw, at which time they're no longer a member. And it doesn't say that the JPA has to be amended, probably because it anticipated a smaller member might withdraw. It doesn't go into effect until the day after the county leaves. Why would the county need to ratify the amendment to the JPA? They've taken a public and official action in their resolution to withdraw from the JPA. Why would they be voting on approving? I don't see any reason they wouldn't vote to approve it, but why would they?
I don't see a reason why they wouldn't vote to approve it, but currently the county is a member of the JPA, and that to amend the JPA requires the agreement by all member agencies, and the county is currently a member agency. So,
okay. But on November 16th, they would not be.
Yes.
So on November 16th, it doesn't go into effect until then, so I'm just not understanding why they need to ratify it. But I tell you what, I'm not the lawyer you are. You might want to think about that. And if it needs to go to the county, or, you know, we can send it to the county. Because you're the one that's going
to write. I suggest it goes to the county.
Okay. Yeah, because you're the one that's going to write the letter of transmittal, or whatever you call it, that transmits the amendment to the to everybody, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Robert Enns, you have a question.
Charles, I didn't hear Jeff's answer on whether it was 4 members or 3.
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was whether or not the committee should be 4 members or 3.
Well, no, whether or not the committee, in terms of whoever's on it, what the maximum number of current board members would be, whether it would be 3 or 4.
4.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Got it. I thought I saw John Hammond's hand raised.
Just clicking. Sorry, Charles. But yeah, I think 4 would definitely be good. And then maybe some bringing our staff along with those particular members. The other thing, too, I'm not so sure that haulers would be a good idea to have in this, because this is our JPA, Charles. It's not really anything that the haulers need to weigh in on at this point. It's agreement between the cities to form a JPA, right? So I'm not quite understanding why you would think haulers would be a good idea.
Well, I'm certainly not set on that. I just think obviously they're interested stakeholders, and I think their viewpoint, they're sometimes they can be critical to helping implement IWMA programs. So sometimes it's not as if they're the deciders. I'm just talking about in terms of input, but they could certainly come to the meetings and make comment if they're not part of the committee. And I think we'll have November, we'll have time in November to try to flesh out where we want to go with the details of committee membership.
Okay, thank you.
Jan?
When it's appropriate, I would like to call the question and and make the motion.
Okay,
for the, I don't know if we've heard public comment on this yet, but you know, just tell me when the moment is right. I'm ready to move on it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. Yeah, let's. I don't see any other hands raised. Let's go to public comment on this item. This is item 13, amendment to the Joint Powers Agreement.
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment on item number 13, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. And I have nobody for public comment.
All right, thank you. That will bring it back to the board, and I will open it up for a motion.
Oh, I would like to move staff recommendation plus the two additions that have been discussed, one as a placeholder, putting the city of San Luis Obispo in the position that the county has held under the government code, and the other eliminating the sentence in section 8.5 under quorum and voting that states, however, 8 affirmative votes shall be required for taking any action in the event any member demands such a vote, period. Just acing that out of 8.5, leaving the rest of 8.5 as is for now.
Okay. Karen Bright, second.
Okay, we have a motion by Jan Mark, second by Karen Bright. Any discussion of the motion? Okay, then we will go ahead and do a roll call.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond?
Aye.
Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Legg?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Abstain.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Your motion does pass, 10 to 1 abstain, 2 absence.
All right, thank you. Okay, we will move on to the next item, which is related. This is item 14, First Amendment to the Memorandum of Agreement between the member jurisdictions and the authorized districts. Turn this over to Jeff Minery.
Thank you, President Barbeau, directors of the board. This document, is simply brought to your board to be approved as to form. What this is this will go out to the special districts who are seated members with the IWMA through the MOA. And this is simply the agreement by the special districts to be abound by the amendment that was the prior action, item 14. So this would, with the approval of your board, this will go out to the special districts.
So to be clear, then the motion would need to, of course, reflect the, not just what's in the staff report, but the two additional changes we made.
Yes, that would be an exhibit to this.
Okay.
Resolution, yeah.
Got it. Okay, any questions to Mr. Minery or anybody else? Robert.
Charles, I'll be happy to, when we're ready, to make a motion on behalf of special districts.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. Anybody with any questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll go see if there's any public comment on this item.
At this time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment on item number 14, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen, or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. And I do have one for public comment. Okay, Janine, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Good afternoon, board and president of the board. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to make sure or want to ask the question, have all of the special districts been involved and do they know about this amendment and agreement that's being considered and their name is on it? Thank you.
Patty and Jeff, we don't really normally directly respond to specific questions from public comment, but can you clarify for the board what communication has been made to the CSDs, although of course they'll obviously get this in the mail for their approval.
Sorry about that, I was on mute. You think by now I'd understand this system. Yes, so we are communicating with special districts. This is going to not come as any surprise. Everybody is aware of the exit of the county and how we need to make modifications, not only to the JPA, but to the MOA. Great question.
Okay, thank you. If we have no other comment, John Hammond has a question.
Thank you, Charles. Of the CSDs, are there any who will not have to comply with 1383, Patty?
So when you say, are there any of the CSDs that will not have to comply with 1383, the answer is no. Now, if somebody like Ground Squirrel Hollow, extremely tiny, looks like they're in a low population waived area. We're working through that process now with CalRecycle, but they have to still report on paper procurement, oddly enough, even though the general manager does not have an office, right? And so we've had discussions with the general manager, Dan, and he said that he's just gonna send us what CalRecycle requires, which is I haven't procured any paper. You know, it's that benign. But so in answer to your question, every single special district will be affected in some way by SB 1383. It may be major and it may be very, very minor.
Okay, thank you.
Keith.
I just was wondering some clarification as far as this portion for the memorandum of agreement. Do all of these have to be approved by November 15th in order for Robert to be a voting member?
Jeff, can you address that?
No, they don't have to be approved for Robert to be a voting member because with or without the JPA amendment, well, the board will still meet. So the JPA amendment just allows your board to meet without the county. And this is the special districts agreement to that. If they trickle in afterwards, we're still fine. It won't hamper the participation of Mr. Ed's.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Or if not, we will let Robert Enns make the motion.
All right, thank you, Charles. I move that the board approve the First Amendment to the Memorandum of Agreement of the IWMA Board of Directors without the county as member jurisdiction.
Hammond seconds.
We have a motion by Robert Enns, a second by John Hammond. Any discussion of the motion? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead for a roll call.
Mr. Enns.
Yes.
Mr. Hammond.
Aye.
Ms. Arnold.
Yes.
Ms. Bright.
Yes.
Mr. Heller.
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Lake?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Abstain.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
And Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Your motion passes 10 to 1 abstain, 2 absence.
All right, thank you. Then we will move on to item 15. Heritage Ranch Amendment to the HHW Agreement. Patty, I think this is probably in your neck of the woods.
Yes, and again, this is just an agreement with Heritage Ranch, which is one of our special districts that are still a remaining member of the IWMA. This facility has been ongoing since the year 2002. We'd like to extend it for another 10 years. There is one provision in here that Scott Duffield has asked us to put in because we might need to move this facility somewhere else on the ranch as he's moving into expansion, possibly in the wastewater treatment plant or other areas. In addition, the area that we have it in right now is in an area where a lot of people are not watching, so illegal dumping might be a problem. And so what we'd like to do is move it to a more visible area, possibly with a better ingress and egress out of the facility. So I'd be happy to answer any questions on this amendment.
Any questions? Keith.
Karen Bright here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. I think saw Keith's hand first. So
certainly.
Thanks. I'll be really quick. I had asked Patty this already, but maybe it'll be good for all of us to hear. I was just curious if they do move and there is an expense to it, to the IWMA, how and when would we address that as far as budgetary concerns for long-term expenses. I can't hear you, Patty.
We're not hearing you. Doesn't say you're muted, but.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can.
Sorry about that. Okay, that's an excellent question, Mr. Storton. It depends on when Scott decides. I mean, if it's closer to the fiscal year, we could budget into the next fiscal year. If it is almost immediately, we'll probably have to do a budget adjustment request for it. And again, what it'll depend on as well is the exact location that we're moving it to. Is it already paved or not? Is there fencing or not? So there's a lot of variables to play. Whatever is decided, I'll make sure that I keep this board posted on the progress or any changes, or if this does come up at all, because we don't know for sure that it will.
Okay, thank you, Patty.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Patty. Karen?
Thank you. Well, that really was my question as well. And it sounds like we have no idea what the cost might even be at this point in time. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Storton, for asking my question.
All right, thank you. Any further questions on this item? Please. If not, we will go see if there's any public comments.
This time, if a member of the public wishes to make a comment, you may press the raise hand button found at the bottom of your screen. Or if you're on the phone, you may press star 9. I have nobody for public comment.
Okay, no public comment. We'll bring it back to the board. Open for a motion.
Ms. Keith, I will move staff's recommendation.
Okay.
Karen Bright, second.
Okay, we have a motion by Keith Storton, second by Karen Bright. Do we have any discussion of the motion? If not, we will proceed to a roll call.
Mr. Storton?
Yes.
Ms. Bright?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Enns?
Yes.
Mr. Hammond. Mr. Hammond?
Hi.
Thank you. Yeah. Mr. Heller?
Yes.
Ms. Marks?
Yes.
Mr. Newton?
Yes.
Ms. Ortiz-Lay?
Yes.
Mr. Pichon?
Abstain.
And Mr. Barbeau?
Yes.
Your motion passes with 10, 1 abstain, 2 absence.
All right, thank you. Next, we will discuss any future agenda items or things members would like to bring forward on a future agenda.
Yeah, Charles.
Oh, I'm sorry. John, I see Robert's hand up here first.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Robert.
Thank you, Charles. I just wanted to, again, thank Keith Storton for his comments at the last meeting, which we've asked to be included in our minutes, found on page 14 and 15 of our agenda packet in writing. Thank you very much for putting that in, and good job, Keith.
Thank you, Robert.
Got it. Okay. I'm sorry, John Hammond, you had comment.
Yeah, Charles, I think now's the time appropriate to go ahead and talk about an ad hoc of some sort, to propose that, to make changes as soon as possible to the JPA. Past Robles see this as very critical for us to stay in. And I think, as well as some of the other cities that's been discussing it, but I think as a board, we need to make an action item on this to get it in gear, basically. And I would be willing to serve, and along with our public works individual who works with me on waste, that would be two. I think having four of our board members, I think, is important to have a pretty good cross-section of the board, along with any staff that they might want to have as well. With regard to the haulers, I'm open, I guess, on that. But again, this is our joint powers authority agreement, and input is good, but it's still going to have to come down to us, as a board, making a final recommendation to change what we need to do to stay inside. So I'm just gonna put that on the table. Let's get some other comment about that as soon as we can.
Sure. And since we're talking about it as a future agenda item, I take your suggestion that we put on, a future agenda, a formal discussion of appointing an ad hoc committee to review JPA changes.
Right. That's why I asked Jeff earlier if we can tag it on to item 13. He indicated we could. I don't know. But, I mean, this is a direction I think we just need to get started. If we can agree on it and who wants to be on it, and then we can form a meeting date, really, is really what I like to say.
It might be appropriate, though, for us to discuss, you know, put it on the agenda in November to discuss more formally and actually appoint people. But I'm going to defer to Jan and Robert next. So, Jan?
Yes. Well, I'd be willing to serve on it as well. I do think it's important that whoever is serving on this committee as a representative from their entity, their city or their CSD, really represent the point of view of their council and of their city, not necessarily their own personal point of view. I think it's really important that communication go both ways, both back to the cities and the CSD and forward into an ad hoc committee. I think this is something the executive board should discuss and try to flesh out a little bit. And then when it comes to the agenda, perhaps there'll be more consideration about what we're doing. I also want to say, in terms of the haulers or the technical team, or there may be other groups, at a certain point when the JPA amendment process is in the draft form, I think it would make sense to circulate it to various groups, very much like kind of like an EIR, like a draft EIR, where you'd have these different entities or groups. You'd want to get their comments. It's quite different from saying you're at the table, you're making these amendments, you're going to have input into these amendments. I think our board needs to be in charge of those amendments, but with input from other really important and concerned groups.
Okay, thank you, Jan. Robert, did you have your hand up again?
Yes.
Okay, Robert, and then Karen Wright.
First of all, I want to say I agree with John Hammonds that our JPA is probably does not involve the haulers at this point. And second, I agree very much with Jan Marks on how we can communicate back and forth with our staffs and the members that we represent. In the case of the special districts, I think there are 10 different districts, and I'd be willing to serve if Patty could work with me on a method to exchange information from each of the special districts.
Yes, I can.
Thank you, Patty.
Okay, Karen?
Thank you. I'd just like to agree with Ms. Mark's comments. I think that the executive board really should be the driver of this, rather than everybody jumping on the wagon saying, I'll be there. So I would like to see that happen, and then maybe even have the executive board invite other directors to join the ad hoc committee. I think that might be more appropriate. That's my opinion. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, so not seeing other comments, I'll comment on this. I think what I'd like to see here, would recommend we consider, is that we put on our November agenda a discussion of the appointment of an ad hoc committee to review the JPA for possible amendments. And that at the executive committee meeting, we discuss and maybe put forth a couple of suggestions for possible membership on such a committee. But then we have a thorough and robust discussion about that at the November meeting, and that we can kind of also come up with a time frame on at that point that, of what we would expect, when we would expect the committee to meet, when we would expect it to come forth with recommended changes for approval by the board for transmission to the member jurisdictions. But in the meantime, as you think about this, and Jeff, I don't think this counts as a serial meeting, but if people have thoughts or ideas about it, that they could transmit those to Patty and she could synthesize those for consideration at the executive council meeting, so that everybody knows that their ideas are getting weighed in as soon as possible. Because one of the things I find is, and the reason I suggested even having a hollers as a member, I'll respect if other people don't think that's a good idea, but is I believe in, if you have a significant stakeholders, get their input. Doesn't mean they're the deciders. But if we could get, board members to provide ideas to Patty, that might be helpful. Keith?
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you. I think that's an excellent idea. I think allowing that time to pass will allow through the agenda process for those stakeholders to get involved, as well as public participation, which is an important aspect to all of this anyway. So I would go with what you just stated, Charles.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I'll just say I don't want to kick the can down the road very far. I mean, I can see this happening a year from now. We're still debating JPA language. And we time, as far as I'm concerned, Pat Robles needs to make a move. Time is of the essence with 1383. And I was trying to get something in gear here. If not, we may have to do what we have to do. So,
yeah. Well, John, I'm just sketching here, but I think if we at our November meeting appoint a committee, then they could meet before the end of the year, propose changes by January, and this could be voted on and referred out to the cities. So I don't think this is, one of the resolutions, I think, from Basso and also in the slow one and draft one, and then others adopted, talked about 6 months. I don't think it would need to take 6 months, but it would need to take at least 3 months, I would see.
Again, agreed. I just, time is of the essence in our opinion.
Yeah, I understand. Jan?
Yeah, I would just like to say that, to reiterate what I was stating earlier, let's just say we had a situation where a city had a resolution supporting the IWMA in front of it, and four members voted in favor of the resolution and another member voted against that resolution. And then the person who voted against the resolution wanted to reform the JPA. That's my concern. And I'm specifically, with all due respect, addressing Mr. Hammond. You seemed not to support the resolution supporting the IWMA, and yet you wish to, in some way, have influence in what it does in the future. So I find that concerning, and maybe I just don't understand. So if you could explain that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, the council passed a resolution that we would stay a member of IWMA if the JPA was revamped with certain language that we proposed to all the other cities, and I think the city managers have all heard about this. And so if that language does not get incorporated into the JPA, then it's our decision that we're going to be talking about leaving. Time is of the essence, because we have 1383 on the books here coming on January 1. We've already had several meetings on this, Jan. So if, again, the board members do not want to take this up and change the language, I need to know that. But if they are, it sounds like the majority wants to do this, then, again, I'm willing to give some time and then let's work it out. But not to kick the can down the road again for months and months. That's my point.
No, I understand that. I don't want to delay either, but I think we also need to proceed in an orderly fashion so that we don't end up in a situation where we're making mistakes in this very important transition period. So yes, with all, we need to continue to go forward. I appreciate your willingness to represent the position of your city, even though it may not have been your personal position.
Right. And of course, it's always, I guess, for us incumbent on all of us as representatives of our individual jurisdictions, just try to stay in tune with any differences there might be between ourselves and the rest of our body, and also to occasionally perhaps ask for input from our councils. And I think in this situation where, we're looking at making changes, it is important to ask our councils, what are you interested in? So that, that can be brought forward to the committee. But I think timeframe wise, if we look at our November meeting, we put this on the agenda to appoint an ad hoc committee, we give them time to meet, we look at January as the time to put those changes into a form of a JPA amendment and then send it out for ratification to the cities, that would be a reasonable schedule. And of course, that can change, but I think in terms of putting a straw man out there in everybody's mind, that's a reasonable outlook. So, okay. And so, Patty, make sure, of course, that item is on the November agenda, and I'll put it on the executive committee meeting agenda for discussion. And if everybody could provide any input you have to Patty in the meantime, that would be helpful. Any other discussion on this item? Okay, so this being just a discussion of future agenda items, anything else? Otherwise, I think we're about ready to adjourn. I did want to comment back, and Jeff, tell me if I shouldn't do this, but in our consent calendar was an update on matters related to the district attorney's investigation. And I just wanted to point out that that stuff's there. We wanted to make sure we knew that we were being completely open with the public on what has transpired there. So we posted to the website the district attorney's final report. We had previously posted the settlement agreement with Mr. Knudsen. And we also posted the district attorney's letter, where they had requested us to withhold documents from Mr. Knudsen while they conducted and completed their investigation. So that if anybody, I bring it up only because if anybody asks, well, what was that all about? Say, hey, you can go to the IWMA website and you can read the relevant documents. So, okay, anything else, or we will adjourn the meeting, I think.
Charles, I'm sorry. Real quick, I had heard Patty say that Cheryl is leaving as of Friday.
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay, I didn't realize that. So I just wanted to thank her for her service and appreciate her dedication to the IWMA.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure to serve. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, let's give her a hand. Yay.
Cheryl.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Cheryl. You've done a very good job. And as mentioned, Sasha is her replacement. And I thought we mentioned anyway that Cheryl was going to be leaving, but she was hanging around with us for additional weeks, which was great because she got a week of overlap with Sasha. So it's been very helpful. So, okay. All right, with that, I think we will adjourn the meeting and hope to hear from you all input wise soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Charles.
Patty.
Recording stopped.